All right, so for the next few weeks, our church, our whole church is going to be talking about neighboring and what it means to be a good neighbor and what it means to be on mission for Jesus in our neighborhoods. And so actually tonight, there's a group of adults that are meeting across the street in the sanctuary, and they're going through kind of what we're going to go through tonight, the same passage as the Lord is teaching us what it means to be the light of Jesus in our neighborhoods. And then next week, families, and maybe your family, so feel free to do this next week if your family's doing it in your own neighborhood. You're going to be walking around praying for your neighbors and asking the Lord, hey, what could I do in my own neighborhood to be the light of Jesus? You know, we all live in our neighborhoods, right? And so as you drive home and drive back to school or wherever you go throughout your day, you're probably passing neighbors who are in their front yards, in their driveways, doing things. And some of you guys are real friendly and you wave and you say hi or whatever, and others, you know, we just kind of go right by. And so our challenge is this, that as we see people in our neighborhoods, that we get to know their names, that we learn who people are. Now, you stay away from the sketchy ones, you know, like if you feel like unsafe, I'm not saying go do that. But within, you know, a safe practice, I would say learn people's names. You know, we can start so simply just by being like, hey, I'm so-and-so, you know, what's your name? How can I pray for you? What's something that I could pray for you this week? I go to First Baptist, and that's what we do. We walk around our neighborhoods now because we're crazy like that, and we pray over our neighbors and their houses and their families. And if there's something specific I could pray for you for, I'd love to write that in my journal, and I would pray for you throughout the week and see what God does with it. Just ask God to bless that somehow, and it might not even be your like exact block that you live on. And we're going to see tonight, we're going to ask the question, Lord, who is my neighbor, right? Because God's command is for us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and so we have to ask the question, like, well, then who is that? It might not necessarily be the person right next to your house that God's leading you to treat as your neighbor, but it might be someone else he has in your life. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's a teacher, but we're going to ask that question and see some scripture that will help us answer it tonight. So look with me in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 to 37. Someone asks that same question in this passage, and so we're going to hear what Jesus says to them and see if we can learn from it. Luke 10, verse 29, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And so he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered correctly. Go do this, and you'll live.' But he," check this out, "desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Right, that question we're asking. And Jesus replied with a story. He says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going by down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Real nice guy. "So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he sat him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." So I think it's interesting, you know, how this thing begins, that this guy, it calls a lawyer, which we know is a Pharisee, this guy who knew the law, the Jewish law really well, was trying to get Jesus in trouble, right? He's part of this group of guys who knew that Jesus was going around preaching the truth, preaching the gospel, and it contradicted some of their religious talk and the things that they believed. And so they wanted to catch Jesus saying something that he probably shouldn't have, right? So they're trying to trick him into it by using certain words and questions. And so his question was intended just to mess Jesus up so they could point at him and go, "You're a heretic." That's what this guy wanted. There was no like pure heart involved as he's coming up to be like, "Jesus, please teach me. I want to know." He wasn't doing that. He was like, "I'm going to get this guy. And all my buddies are going to cheer me on from the sides when I show him like, man, I got him good." You know, that was his intent. And it's funny that as he has this conversation, I kind of think through some of my conversations in life with people that I really want them to know the truth. Like, I want them to know that Jesus loves them. I want them to know that there is a big God that really created everything that exists, including them. And sometimes when I have that conversation, you know how I feel? I feel like maybe I'm like the aim of, like they're targeting what I'm saying. Like they're critiquing every little thing. And as we have this conversation, they're just trying to get me to trip up. And so the conversation becomes more of this argument or this like battle to see who's wittier in the conversation. And that's not at all the intent of why I want to talk to them. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. If you've ever tried to share your faith with someone, maybe someone who claims to be an atheist, and you have this conversation and the whole time they're just looking how they can jab you with every little comment you say and just tear apart your words. And it's more common than we'd like it to be, but it's not the end of the world, right? Because it's common, Jesus is giving us this awesome way to talk to even people who are hard to talk to about our faith. That might be even scary for you to be like, "I can't talk to someone like that. Like, no way. I'll just like melt if they start like tearing my points up and stuff. I can't do that." And Jesus is like, "Yes, you can. Here's how. Do it like me." And he models it for us right here. I love that that he shows us how to do it. So he says, this lawyer stands up, puts him to the test, right? He says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so here's what Jesus does. Rather than just like answer him and play into his trap, what Jesus does is he asks him a question. He says, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" So what Jesus does is he invites him into the conversation. Rather than be like, "All right, let's do this. Here's my points." And then he like debates back like you're like lawyers debating each other in court, you know, that sometimes we can do. So you might see that on like online, Christians doing that, and like throw their point out. And then the next dude comes and throws his point out. And they're just trying to one up each other. Jesus is like, "Nah, let me invite you into your conversation, in this conversation. Let me hear what you think. Share your thoughts with me. Let's just talk about this." It's this like peacemaking thing that he does to be like, "Let's do this together. Let's search out the answer together. It's not my wits against yours and whoever's smarter and took Mr. Cottrell's class in MICS will have all the answers." That's not what he does. He's not trying to battle with his wits. He's just saying, "Let's figure it out together. Join me. Let's get on the same side." And I wonder what would happen in our conversations if we did that. You know? Instead of battling people, starting arguments all the time, getting on social media and blasting people who are from other views than us. Instead, we're like, "Hey, let's talk together. Like, let's sit down and look this up in the Bible and see what we find and discuss it. Like, let's get on the same team." Because we're both looking for truth, right? If we're not, then we shouldn't even be in the conversation. But if we are, then let's look together. And that's what Jesus does to start this off. I love that. So the guy does this. He says, and he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength," right? "And you love your neighbor as yourself." Well, he had heard Jesus do this. He must have, because Jesus had already quoted when he was asked before and they tried to trick him. Jesus answers with this. And basically, he's summing up the entire Bible by saying two things. Love God with everything you are and love others the way you love yourself. I can sum up all of Scripture by those two phrases. That's what Jesus said. The whole law can be summed up that way. So this guy not only knew it, so he's smart, but he had already heard in on Jesus saying this before and kind of quoted Jesus back to himself. And think about it for a second. What's he asking? He's asking how we can have eternal life. He's saying, give all of yourself to God. Like, surrender your life to God. Trust him, right? Trust him with all that you are. And if you do, that love is going to pour out of you onto people around you, the others right, in this passage. And so it's a right answer. So look what Jesus says. He says to him, you've answered correctly, right? Like you got it up here. Your mind has wrapped around it, so good for you. But he hasn't really gotten it. In his mind, he has. Like, he knows the words to say. You've answered correctly. Now look what Jesus says next. Do this, and you'll live. Well, he wouldn't have to tell him to go do it so he could live if he's already doing it. So the guy has the knowledge up here, right? But he's not living it out. And I just wonder how many Christians are walking around and they know the words to say and what to post on social media and what to say to their friends. And they've kind of joined the Christian culture thing that's happening and it's really cool and whatnot. But you know what? We're not living it. There's so many of us Christians that are going to church and we love the fact that, you know, we identify with this body of Christ and we can. But then like the person walks by us who needs love and we just let them walk right by us. Why bother saying the words? Why bother going through the motions if we're not going to live out the very things that Jesus has taught us? And here's this Pharisee, this guy who knew the law so well. People would go to him to be like, hey, I need answers, right? They would seek him out to figure things out about the law. That's how much he knew. But Jesus is like, you're not living it. You don't really know it. It's just a knowledge for you. He says, but he, desiring to justify himself, so the guy feels attacked. You probably would too, right? I would. Jesus is like, you're not doing this that you know. So the guy's like, I got to justify myself. He says to Jesus, well, then who's my neighbor? So there he goes. He's starting that little back and forth, trying to with Jesus. Well, who is my neighbor? Like, if you can even tell me what that is, maybe I'm not doing it wrong, Jesus. Maybe I'm doing it just different from you. And Jesus, he doesn't fall into the trap. He gives him a story, right? Jesus is so good at this. He's like, I'm not just going to give you one phrase. I'm going to bring you in again to the conversation. And I'm going to give you this story so that you can experience the answer rather than me just tell you the answer. You know why? Because you already got all the answers in your head. You're a smart dude. You've memorized all this stuff. I know you do well with that. The knowledge is your thing. So instead of just giving you another thing to memorize, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you into the experience, to the story. And he shares the story with him when he asks, who is my neighbor? And before we look at the story, I wonder, could you answer that? You know, like, would you be able to say who your neighbor is tonight, the way Jesus is talking about it? And maybe you could start with just your next door neighbor. Do you know their names? You know, a lot of us probably don't. But beyond that, like, would you be able to tell Jesus, if he asked you that tonight, who your neighbors are? Like, who are the people he's leading you to love and to serve and to show his light to? Like, do you have people in your life that you've actively looked for and identified and you're like, man, that's the mission Jesus has me on? Are you on a mission? Or are you just doing your own thing? You're too busy doing school and sports and getting scholarships and like focusing on your life and making your list of your resume. It's like so awesome, but you've totally forgotten this part over here, which should be your entire life, which is following Jesus and being on his mission. When he went to the cross and died for you and rose again and gave you new life when you believed in him, he recruited you into a new mission. And how many of us are on that mission? We're still over here, right? We're still doing the things that we were doing before we got saved. I'm still after these goals. And Jesus is like, but I got a whole new thing for you. Love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Are you on it? Could you say, these are my neighbors? These are the people that Jesus has pointed out to my heart, and I want them to know him. And so I'm going to serve them and love them and find out how I can pray for them. And I'm going to do whatever I can so that they can see Jesus in me and hear about Jesus from my lips. That's the mission I'm on. So I guess I'm asking tonight, is that your priority? Or is your priority somewhere else? Because this is a guy that Jesus is talking to and his priorities we're somewhere else. And when Jesus had this conversation with him, he looked at him and said, I know your priorities are somewhere else, but I'm calling you to put them in line with my priorities, with what I saved you for. So who is your neighbor? And Jesus replied, here's the story, ready? He says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So just a guy, right? He points out this guy who's just walking down the road and he's traveling, and it was dangerous to travel back then. And as he's making this dangerous journey on these dirt roads, and outcome, what it says next, he fell among robbers. Like, these dudes came out to rob him. They stripped him. They beat him. They took everything he had, and they left him close to death. Like, they beat him so bad, and they just left him with nothing, laying in the street about to die. All alone, nobody around to help him. And it says, now by chance, a priest was going down that road. Now, you'd think a priest would be a pretty good dude, right? His job is kind of to help people, and he knows the law that we're talking about, like, really well. He studied that. Like, that's what he went to school for, right? So he studied about how to live a life that honors God, and it's his own, it's like his job. And here he is, he's walking down the street, and as he's going, there's this dude laying in the dirt, all alone. Nobody's helping him. He's beat up, covered in blood. He's obviously about to die. He's probably moaning his last breaths, and he's got nothing. And he sees him, and you'd think, oh, priest for sure is going to go up and help this guy, right? Like, that's what he does. But it doesn't say that this religious man with all this religious knowledge did that. Jesus says, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He was like, I'm out, right? I ain't helping you. Doesn't say why. Doesn't elaborate on it. But we know enough. This guy should have known better. This is the guy people would go to. You go to a priest to find out how to live for the Lord. And so you'd go ask him advice like this, and he should be the guy demonstrating it, right? That should go over to this guy and be like, are you okay? And pick him up and help him. Clean him off, bring him to get him medical care and food. But no, no. This guy goes to the other side of the street as far away as he could. He turns his eyes away to pretend he couldn't see him, because then that'd be embarrassing. It'd be awkward, because he knew what he was supposed to do. So he couldn't admit to himself that he was clearly not doing that. And he kind of looks the other way, doesn't make eye contact, didn't even see him, right? So now it's cool, and he just keeps going. Now, at this point of the story, I'm disgusted, right? I'm like, this guy, how could he ever do that? Like, it's unbelievable. You wouldn't help someone in need, no matter who they are. But then I got to stop myself. I think, as disgusted as I am by the guy in this story, how many times in my life have I done that very exact same thing? How many times do you do that same thing? How many people do you see at school that are sitting all by themselves, leaned up against the wall in the hallways, or sitting by themselves at lunch, and you know they have no friends, you know they got nobody to talk to, but you still not one time have gone over and sat with them and been a friend to them? Not one time have you listened as the Holy Spirit has knocked on your heart and be like, go talk, go be their friend, go show them love, and you've been like, no, God, not right now. Or maybe you just turn your eyes away to your friends that you're sitting with, because it's easier to stay distracted and to not look at it. You know, like, let me just pretend you didn't say that, Holy Spirit. I didn't hear you. I'm too busy laughing with my friends. Meanwhile, that kid's all by himself over there. Maybe it's not that story. Maybe for you, it's something totally different. But the Lord's called you to someone and you've said no. You've just totally walked on the other side of the road. How many times, like, I'm guilty of it. I think we all probably can relate to this. So before we get too disgusted with this priest, we need to look at ourselves and go, wait, man, is that me? Is that me in the story? Because then look what happens next. So likewise, a Levite who is this like super like knowledgeable, again, another religious guy. He should know better. He should be the guy going to help this dude who's laying on the road out. If you're a Levite, you have all the credentials. You have it all right. Among the Jews, you're considered like the prime, you know? And it says that when he came to that place and saw him, you know what he does? This like perfect specimen of a Jew, he passes by on the other side. He does the same thing. Different flavor, but the same thing. He just walks by and leaves the guy there. Why are these two super religious dudes who have it all figured out and all going right just walking by? And then Jesus points out a third person. You ready? He says, but a Samaritan. All right, stop. Now, the guy he's talking to, this Pharisee, this lawyer, his jaw drops. It doesn't say it in there, but I guarantee you it happened. Once Jesus said that there was a Samaritan on the road, the guy's like, what? Wait, we don't talk about Samaritans. We don't talk to Samaritans. We don't look at Samaritans. They were considered inferior to the Jews. They were considered like unclean. You don't touch them, go near them. You walk way around them. Like you want absolutely nothing to do with a Samaritan if you were a guy like this. Their culture looked down on them so much. And Jesus, to even speak the word Samaritan, this guy must have been like, what are you saying? And this is his example. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. This guy who was considered inferior walks up onto the dude who's all beat up in the road. And it says, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Wait a minute. In the mind of this lawyer, the Samaritan's the last guy who would ever have compassion or ever do anything that could honor God. He wasn't capable, in his mind, of honoring God, especially not compared to a priest and a Levite. There's no way. Why would Jesus ever say that a Samaritan walks up and is able to have compassion on this man? You know what Jesus is really saying? This Samaritan was living out the things these other guys knew but wouldn't do. It was just head knowledge for them. But the Samaritan actually acted on it. He obeyed what God told him. He was living it out to love other people and honor the Lord by doing it. So he had compassion. He didn't just talk about it. It says he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Immediately took care of his physical needs. You know that Jesus cares about your physical needs as much as he does your spiritual needs. He cares about all of you, the total package. He doesn't just say like, everything's going to be cool and just focus on the later. And I don't care about where you're at now. I don't care if you're in pain. He does. Tonight, if you're here and you're hurting and your heart aches and there's something going on in your life, Jesus cares. If you're going to go home and you're like, I'm not sure I'm going to have dinner on the table. I don't know if we can afford it right now. Jesus cares about that. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to go to school tomorrow. We don't have a car anymore, or we don't have a place to live, or whatever your story is tonight, believe me, Jesus cares. These high religious dudes only cared about this high religious stuff, and they didn't care about this guy's needs. But here the Samaritan comes along. I care about all of you, the whole thing. And the first thing he does is he takes care of his physical needs, and he cares for his wounds. And it says, then he set him on his own animal. Like, that's his place of honor, to sit on that animal, on his donkey or whatever it was that he was riding. And he takes this dude and puts him on there. It's like, here, have my spot. Ride and I'll walk. I'll get my feet dirty and tired and smash them on rocks as we walk down this road and stub my toe. Like, you sit up there, I will take you. It says, and he brought him to an inn, made sure he had shelter and a place to stay, and he took care of him. Here's what I love about this picture. He doesn't just pat him on the back and be like, oh man, I see this dude has a need. All right, I hope you feel better, brother. I'm going to pray for you. Have a good day. Like, far too often, that's what we do. That's the Christian thing to do is, man, I hope you feel better. I'm praying for you. 90% of the time, if not more, we don't even pray. We just say we're going to pray, and then we don't do it. And we definitely didn't actually engage this person with what they actually need because we didn't have the time. We had a soccer game to go to. We had a test to study for. We had to go to dinner or hang out with our friends or whatever the list is of things we needed to get done that were so important we couldn't stop. Couldn't pause on our journey and our life and our busyness that was so much more important than helping someone else in need. This guy stopped. He was on a journey. And it seems to be an important one, maybe even an urgent, rushed one, but he still stops, pauses his life and says, I'm going to commit. I know this is going to take some time. I'm going to put you on my horse or donkey or whatever this thing was. I'm going to bring you to the inn. I'm going to care for your needs. I'm going to commit to helping you. And it's going to slow me down. It's going to inconvenience me. It's going to take my time up. It's going to make me late. But this is important. It's important because I want to live out the things that I've said I believe in. I want to really love people the way Jesus has taught me to love people and not just say I do and wear the Christian t-shirt that acts like I do. Like, I want to actually love people. I don't want to be like the priest and the Levite. I want to show compassion. When I see someone new at Firehouse that's all by themselves, I don't want Rob to have to come up and be like, hey, can you go talk to that new kid? I just want to be the one that just goes and loves on them and talks to them and welcomes them into my group. When I see someone all alone or they look like they're hurting, I want to be the one that walks up and says, can I pray for you about something? Like, are you okay? Can I just sit with you? There's so many opportunities all around us all the time that we walk right by. And when we do, we're the Levite and the priest. We're not being the Samaritan who's looking at this guy with eyes of compassion that says, I can stop my stuff. It's okay. Soccer isn't going to be like this eternal trophy I have in heaven. My grades and my GPA, they're not going to be up in heaven hanging on the walls of heaven. Like, these other things I have in my life, they're cool now. They're important now a little bit. But they're not eternal like this moment will be if I stop my life. And I be Jesus to this person. So he takes care of him. And it says, and the next day. So it wasn't just like this moment either. It wasn't even a couple hours. Literally, it took all night. And the next day he gets up. This is a major time commitment for him. I love the fact that Jesus says, as you are going, be making disciples. Right, that's Jesus like command us as he rises into heaven. He's told us that on our journey, as we're going through life and doing the things we need to do, they're not bad, keep doing them, be ready to stop. Be ready to pause as you are going to do the things I'm bringing on your path. So as I bring this dude along your way, you're able to go, I'm on a journey, but as I see this, I'm stopping. And I'm going to say yes to Jesus, and I'm going to help, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to serve. And there are going to be a lot of moments, Jesus, where you call me to stop and take a beat and just be like, listen, I want to serve Jesus here. Yeah, I want to get down there. I want to get down the road. I got goals. But he said, as I'm going, that I should be making disciples, and here's an opportunity. So let me pause the journey like this guy does, and let me be here, fully be here. For this person, not just a pat on the back, but let me engage you in a way where I can really show you love. I can really actually substantially help you and be your friend in a real way. So it says in the next day, right? He took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. He goes up to the innkeeper and he gives him money. And you think, well, maybe he's just paying for that night, you know, so that they had a place, a safe place to stay. But it's awesome that he was willing to reach into his pocket where sometimes it hurts us the most and cover somebody else. Like, what if Jesus calls you and your finances and what you have, and you might not have a lot, so you're really protective of it, right? And you're like, man, I don't have much, Jesus, and you're calling me to take my finances and use it to like help someone else. But I really need it. How generous are you with the things, with the money Jesus has put in your pockets? Jesus takes his money and he puts it in your pockets and lets you hold it and spend it and use it. He asks you to be generous with it for his kingdom. So how are you stewarding his money? Are you treating it like it's just like yours? Like, Jesus, no, you can't have this. This person doesn't really need it, right? Like, this homeless guy is starving over here, and like, no big deal. Like, and I'm not telling you to be frivolous with your money in any way and just start throwing it at people. I'm not saying that. But what does your heart say when Jesus is like, I want you to help them financially? I want you to take some of this well-guarded money that you have and hard-earned money that you worked hard for, and I want you to use it to donate to this. Or maybe for you, it's just to start tithing to your church because Jesus commands it. And you're just obeying and saying yes. This guy was living out what he said he believed, and he reaches in and he pays to cover this other guy. He gets hit financially, and he's okay with it. And it says, he tells the innkeeper, take care of him. So he wasn't just paying him just for the night, but he's like, here's some money to cover for you to continue to care for him. I love that he wasn't afraid to recruit other people to help. He acknowledged like, wow, this is maybe bigger than what I can handle by myself, so I'm going to get help. And I won't even just hand it off to somebody like, oh, it's not my problem anymore. Here you go. Bro, he's your problem. I'm out. Bye. He's like, I'll even pay for it. I'll pay more money for you to be able to take care of this guy because I have to do this thing. But I'm not jetting out. Like, I'll be back. And when I get back, it says, I'll even pay you whatever you spend. If it's more, I'll repay even that. He's inviting this guy in to obey Jesus with him. Remember Samuel and Eli in the temple? We've talked about a lot. It's kind of our thing at Firehouse. Because what they learned, what Samuel learned from Eli was to listen to God's voice when he speaks to him and to say yes, to obey him, right? And then to invite other people to say yes with him. And that's what I see happening here. This Samaritan is inviting other people to be on mission with him for Jesus. What happens if two or three of you guys decide you're going to say yes to Jesus tonight and be on mission with him? And you don't just say it for yourself, but you do what the Samaritan does. And you go to a friend and say, I want you to be on mission with me. I don't want to do this alone. I need help. I want to walk with a brother or sister. Let's do this together. What happens if you invite your friends to be on mission with you? What happens if this entire youth group decides we're going to live on mission and love people this way? And you start inviting other people. What happens to this community when it's a community full of believers who say, I take Jesus seriously. I live out the things that he tells me. I don't just talk about them. Man, big things will happen. Things that you and I aren't capable of doing. Only God can do those things through us. And I'll tell you what, I want to see God move and work. It's exciting. Like, it's so awesome when you look and you see something happen that only God could do. It's like you're watching God show up and actually move and breathe and be there. When you get to experience God doing something you know is above you and you're not capable of, man, that's a hard thing to forget. That tends to change your heart and your life real quick. You start to trust Jesus more and live a whole different way. You start to change from these priorities we talked about earlier to God's priorities for you. Because you've seen him show up and you trust that he will keep showing up. But will you take that first step? Will you trust him? Will you invite your friends around you to join that mission with you and say, let's go love people the way Jesus loves people. Let's go to school tomorrow and be about this. Let's find our neighbors tomorrow in our school that we can love and serve and sit with and make them feel included and help them know that they're valuable. Let's do this together. Who will you invite? What friend will you go up to after this and say, let's do that tomorrow? Let's start this thing. Let's be serious together. This guy invites the innkeeper. He's willing to pay for all of these things. And then look at what Jesus says in response. He says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? That's what he asked the lawyer. He's basically asking him to answer his own question, because that's what the guy asked Jesus, right? And after the story, he's like, all right, now you answer it. After having heard this story, what do you think? And the lawyer says, the one who showed him mercy. He knew it. He knew it all along. But he didn't live it. It stayed up here and never reached his heart. And what Jesus was getting at was like, dude, take this knowledge. It's truth. Live it out. Actually believe it. So many believers, Christians today, Jesus would look us in the face and say, actually live out the things that I'm telling you. Stop just talking about them. And so Jesus says back to him, this is how it ends with these words. You go and do likewise. Very simple. To answer your question, your neighbor is the one that God has called you to show love and compassion to. It might be the guy who lives next door, or the girl sitting across the classroom in your school, or the person on your soccer team. It might be a teacher. It's the person that the Lord is calling you to show them compassion and mercy and to share the hope of Jesus with that you have. That's your neighbor. And so he looks at this guy and says, now go. Stop just talking about it and knowing it. Like, go do it. Obey. Do what this guy did. And now for this lawyer, Jesus is talking about a Samaritan. Don't forget that. He's looking at this Pharisee who thinks he's up here and saying, go act like this lowly, disgusting, in your mind, Samaritan. And he's like, what? You want me to act like him? Right? That probably went right through his heart and mind. And I wonder how many of us don't answer the call of Jesus because we feel like we're way more than we really are. We look at the guy on the street and we're like, probably deserves that. That kid across the lunchroom, he deserves it. He's not nice to people. He talks different from us, a different sense of humor, dresses different, like, is just totally different, like, wouldn't fit in with our group. We make these excuses, and we almost feel superior, and it gives us a reason to just walk by on the other side of the street. But I wonder what happens if we stop making those excuses, and we start seeing other people just as broken as we are, and say, Jesus loves them enough to die for them, and he's calling me to love them with that type of love. Enough to die for them. Enough to sacrifice for them. Enough to be a friend and have compassion. So tonight, ask yourself who your Samaritan is. Who's that guy on the street lying there bleeding that the Lord's calling you to? And who are you going to invite to go with you to help him? Will you bow your heads for just a second? The band's going to come up and lead us in some worship. And as they make their way up, I just want to ask you to think about that question. Just say, Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is the Samaritan in my life that's laying on the street that you're calling me to reach out to and to love? And just listen to see what the Lord says to your heart.